Welcome to the Andrew Cordell Show, where we discuss real money from real estate. Andrew Cordell gives advice based on firsthand experience. Andrew has experienced the peaks of the real estate market, the lows of the market crash of 2007, and he has taught himself how to rebuild his successful real estate business from scratch after he lost it all. He now helps others learn how to find their own success through his experience, mistakes, and triumphs. And now, your host, founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, experienced investor with over 140 houses flipped in only 18 months, Andrew Cordell.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate. And we've got a great show for you today in store for you. And we're talking about Casey Papinga. We had him on some previous shows where he was giving a little bit of advice and tips, and it was such a unique story and a unique investing career. I definitely wanted to bring him back, and so we're going to spend the whole hour with him talking about real estate investing, and this is really cool, guys, because he played in the NFL, went to Super Bowls, he played under some Hall of Fame coaches that are some of the greatest coaches of all time in the NFL, and then he transferred that and got into real estate investing, and now is a successful real estate investor as well. So we want to really dive into a little bit of his football career, of course, and Super Bowl. He went to a Super Bowl, and a little bit of the coaching stuff, and then how that moved over into real estate investing, and how he was able to turn some of those lessons into a profitable business as well when it comes to real estate. Again, Casey is a NARE member, and for those of you listening, if you want to know more about becoming a NARE member, which is the National Association of Real Estate Investors, just for $1 a day, you can simply call this number and get more information about how you can become a member, just like I am, as well as Casey. That's 1-800-537-3440. Again, that's 1-800-537-3440. Casey, are you here in the studio with us?
I am.
All right, Casey, I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule and meet us here in the studio to go over your sort of career that you have in life so far. And I'm super intrigued because I am a diehard Seahawks fan, and I heard that you played for the Seahawks.
That's right. In fact, that was the second team I got with. I actually started out with the Pittsburgh Steelers, got with them, went through training camp and everything, and then ended up getting released. And then soon thereafter, had a tryout with the Seattle Seahawks. This is actually about 10 years ago.
Sure.
But had a great opportunity there. Got picked up with them in the 2003 season, and learned some, had a great experience playing there. Had built some great relationships with some really awesome players. Matt Hasselbeck and
He still plays today.
And, exactly. I'm actually very shocked that he's still playing.
I know that he's over with the Colts right now, I think.
Exactly. He looks like he's about 45.
But, well, he is, I think.
Man, but it's pretty incredible he's still out there playing. But just a great experience. And I actually was there for about a year, and then after that moved on with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then I wrapped up my career at Super Bowl 39 with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow. So did you end up going to two different Super Bowls?
No, just one. So the first year we actually got beat out in the playoffs. Funny story. That first season I played with the Seahawks. Most of our listeners will probably remember this. It was one of the first playoff appearances that Seattle had at that time. For several years, and the game, it was a wild card game up at Green Bay against Brett Favre and Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
And we played them tough, tied the game late, and the game went into overtime. And during the coin flip before we would go into overtime there, Matt Hasselbeck famously said, we call heads and we want the ball and we're going to win. And what was so ironic about that, we did win the flip of the coin, got the ball, and on Matt Hasselbeck's very first pass, he threw an interception to Al Harris for a touchdown, and Green Bay won the game. Yep, for a pick six. So
ending the game on a pick six.
Yeah, it was quite interesting experience there. But after I had left. In fact, about a year after I had left, that's when Matt did a great job leading the Seattle Seahawks to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, they lost. There was a little controversy in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, there was some controversy in that one.
To the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it was a great organization and great experience, too.
Awesome, man. So you started off your career with the Steelers, went into the Seahawks and the Chiefs and Eagles there. Being in the NFL, man, it's such a elite class of brotherhood that's there. and a top of the game to be able to reach that level. And you play tight end, is that correct?
Yeah, tight end, that's correct.
Play tight end. And for those of you, obviously we're on the air now, so you can't see us, but just so you understand, me and Matt are about the same size. I'm about 5'9", he's about 6'3". But we look very similar to each other, right, Matt? Or I'm sorry, not Matt. Matt Hasselbeck. You had me thinking about Matt Hasselbeck. I'm sorry.
You had me confused there. Yep, Casey. Yep,
yeah, there
that's
you
right. Yeah, we look exactly the same size. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate that. So, you know, one of the cool things that as I was listening to you was that you were coached by some of the greatest coaches / leaders out there right now. I mean, you were there for a short stint in the NFL with four different teams, but you had the privilege of being underneath some of the great coaches of all time.
You know, I did, and it was pretty crazy as you think back, and even the players that I played with, you know, on almost every team, there was at least one or two Hall of Famers that I was able to enjoy. I mean, you really think about who I surrounded myself by and who I was surrounded by. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the time, Bill Cowher was the coach, and on that team is Jerome Bettis.
Wow,
he's already
the
in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And then Hines Ward, who's going to be a future Hall of Famer.
Sure.
He was on the team at that same time. And then when I went to the Seattle Seahawks, Mike Holmgren, you know, he has a street named after him in Green Bay. So,
yeah.
And he's a Hall of Fame coach. And then also at the time up in Seattle, we had Matt Hasselbeck, and then another fantastic player that was really quiet, but really taught me a lot about, you know, work and ethic. And that was Walter Jones.
Oh,
he
yeah.
just got inducted into the Hall of Fame last year.
Yeah.
And then as I moved on to the Kansas City Chiefs, you had Dick Vermeil. He's a Hall of Fame head coach. He was inducted to the Hall of Fame, and then Tony Gonzalez. So he was with me and the other tight ends, and I learned some amazing, you know, just life lessons from him, especially once again about work ethic. And then when I ended up and wrapped it up there with the Philadelphia Eagles, at that time you had Andy Reid was the coach, who will be a Hall of Fame coach and
yeah,
a fantastic
sure.
coach. And then also too, at the time you had Terrell Owens. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's kind of a
that's
debate
right
now if he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
A great athlete.
Yeah, phenomenal athlete. And we saw what he did in that Super Bowl, you know, coming from the adversity he had. If you remember that year, he had broke his ankle, more of his leg, during about the second to last game that season. And then he was able to play in the Super Bowl. And for those of everybody listening, I mean, remember, I think he had 9 or 10 receptions for over 120 yards, and he kept us in that game. And in fact, on the NFL Network, not to plug another network or anything, but they got a great story on that, chronicling, you know, what he sacrificed and what he did to make a big impact that year. But anyways, with all of that, I mean, that really, all of those people, you know, and those coaches really rubbed off on me and made a massive impact on me as I evolved out of football, getting into real life, and becoming a real estate investor. There was several very valuable life lessons that they each taught me that I think has really helped me get to where I am today.
That's awesome, man. So let's actually go with that transfer right there, sort of through your football career, and now real estate sort of comes along. Where did the urge or the idea of you getting involved in real estate, becoming an investor, where did that come from?
You know, that's a great question. One of my really good friends where I grew up was not a football player, but he was actually a full-time investor. And and even before then, I was always intrigued about real estate and just the mechanics of it and the opportunity that real estate could bring to an individual. When it comes to just, you know, income, lifestyle, and things like that. Even though I had the interest, I never did anything with it until I had a friend kind of almost personally mentor me and say, hey, why don't you come with me and I want to show you, you know, how you can make money in real estate and what it can do to your life. And that conversation took place while I was in the NFL, and then when I decided to transition, he was one of the first people I called.
Wow.
And shortly thereafter, within about a year or so, I did my first deal, and it's been awesome ever since.
So you were still in the NFL. You have a friend who was in the NFL that was already investing. Sort of talk to you, get you, sort of mentor you through the process. Which, as you know, and you're the same way. I know you train and help a lot of the members in NARI here, and training and mentoring is very, very important, especially. to speed the process of investing along and to save a lot of mistakes as well, is having that good mentor like you had, like I've had, to help you through the process.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's where it kind of goes into going back to the football experience I had. You know, to be a great player, you know, I named some of the players I played with that are Hall of Famers or will eventually be Hall of Famers, and every one of them can even attribute my success in life, even if we're just talking about football, was truly based upon the type of coaches that I had throughout those years. And I think each of those players could attribute a lot of what they did to the coach that they had during those times. You know, you can only get so far as an individual, but you can get even farther with great mentoring and great assistance from somebody that's already been there, done that, knows what it takes to be successful, and to really kind of show you the ins and outs. And that was something that was extremely valuable for me, because I don't think I could be sitting here today if I tried to do all this on my own and figure it out on my own. But fortunately, my good friend, a seasoned real estate investor, brought me under his wing, and together he helped me become who I am today. And I'm able to now give back to other novice investors and to help them along, because I truly understand the value of what it takes to become successful and the importance of working with a seasoned investor.
That's a great point there. And I want to touch on that point when we come back right after this break, because there's a lot of valuable information there. So right after this break, we're going to pick back up with Casey Papinga and how he did his very first deal, how he orchestrated it, the value of having his coach, his mentor there to help him along the way. So stay tuned. Right after this break, we're going to be covering back with Casey Papinga, NFL Super Bowl to Real Estate Super Bowl.
We'll be right back on the Andrew Cordell Show.
The problem with the American dream is waking up in your 40s stuck in a nightmare, working too many hours for too little money. What if you could break that cycle, supplement your income, and actually sock away some money for retirement? Or better yet, be your own boss. Keep more of what you make because you're working for you. Well, now you can, and people just like you are doing it right here in Making Money Now Without Risking Any of Their Own Money. Find out how in Andrew Cordell's brand new Amazon best-selling book, Cashflow Finish Line. The cost? Zero. Andrew has arranged for his sponsors to help pay for shipping and handling. Just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Live the American dream on your terms, starting with a simple phone call. Call 1-800-524-0720 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-0720 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-0720 now. That's 1-800-524-0720.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show, where we're talking about real money made from real estate. I'm your host, Andrew Cordell, president of the National Association of Real Estate Investors. And in the studio today, we have an awesome investor as well as athlete, Casey Papinga, former NFL tight end, went to a Super Bowl with the Steelers, played for the Seahawks, the Chiefs, the Eagles, and sort of carried that over into his real estate career, and now has been successful with real estate investing as well. And Casey, what I want to do, you gave some great points there on your leadership that you had and the mentors that you had inside of coaching, and that's where we left off at. And I just want to bring this point up because it made me think of this. You know, I travel and speak all across the nation. I'm in two events this coming up weekend here. And, you know, it's amazing to me that no matter how great an athlete is, right, and we're talking about you're an athlete, no matter how great an athlete is, whether it be Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, it doesn't matter. I always give this example when I speak is that you always need assistance, a mentor, a leader to make you better, to save you from losses, or when you have losses, to help pick you back up and push you through. But having that person in your corner that is making you a better athlete, a better golfer, a better basketball player, a better investor is so crucial. And I've never understood the philosophy of an investor who's never done anything and wants to dive into. I've seen investors dive into a couple hundred unit multifamily apartment with no guidance whatsoever. And I thought you brought a great point and illustration there about how important those coaches were that you had, as well as your friend that mentored you through real estate as well.
You know, that's right. I mean, you think about life in general, very few people can succeed in anything on their own.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just the nature of how it works.
Absolutely. And most importantly, relying on somebody that's been there and done that is probably one of the most important things for anybody to be able to grow, advance, and be successful. And I look at, you know, just the whole nature of the athletics. And if you ever took out a coach out of that whole equation, it would be really interesting to see how games would happen, how they would evolve, who would win, how things would happen. And it's just interesting. And that's with my background and having that fortunate opportunity to be involved in sports throughout my life, I've been able to use those, sports as really a foundational tool for me to really be successful in my own life, because I've been able to translate a lot of those things into real life experiences that I've had. And just that whole concept of relying on somebody that's been there, done it, that can help put me in the position of success. And the thing that I've always looked at too, to go back to the football analogy or the experiences that I had, each of those coaches I had when I was playing in the NFL, they all had tons of experience in really crucial games, crucial situations. And each time they were put in new situations, they would go back on those previous experiences they had and how they could succeed in the current situation. And I look at my real estate experience as well too. With the friend that really helped me through and give me the momentum to get started, he really helped me avoid a lot of the common mistakes that a first-time investor would make if they were doing it on their own. And one of the things he taught me from the very beginning was that it's all about persistence when it comes to trying to find a deal.
Yeah,
you know, you might get your mindset that this particular deal, man, there's no way this deal cannot work. And you try so hard to work with the seller to try to make it work. And at the end of the day, the seller's just not budging. And a common mistake for a novice investor would be, okay, well, I'm going to just raise my offer price because I'm so enamored about this deal. I have to make this deal work.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the guy that taught me always said, look, the numbers don't lie. If the deal doesn't work according to the numbers that you ran, don't do it, no matter how good the deal looks and no matter how much in love you are with the property, the numbers will not lie. And I look back over my career, even up until today, that saved me thousands of dollars throughout my career, where I've had to walk away from deals where, yeah, it could have worked and I was really loving the deal, but the numbers based upon where I had to be at wouldn't work. The sellers weren't willing to budge, and I just had to move on to another opportunity.
Yeah, it's a great point there you're talking about, because, you know, real estate is, and I talk about this all the time, real estate is black and white numbers at the end of the day. It's not about the four walls and the roof. It's about black and white numbers, and either the numbers make sense or they don't, and that's what determines whether I buy the house or you buy the house. It's not based off of emotion or location. It's based off of pure numbers, spreadsheet. And let's look at this and figure it out. I think it's a great point you're making there. What I want to do, Casey, here, because I know you got an awesome story of a property you did with adversity and how you had you sort of used your Super Bowl adversity that you faced. We went to Super Bowl and you lost, and how you had to come back and rebound from that. And you have a story about a house that you did as well that you had to come back and fight your way through. So I want to come for sure cover that when you come back here. And I also want to talk about your very first deal, because your first deal that you ever bought was a rental property. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly right. In fact, what's interesting about that deal, originally we had the intent with that deal to buy it, fix it, and sell it. Unfortunately, due to circumstances of the market at the time, it didn't validate a good sell at that time. So we decided, well, let's hold on to it. Let's rent it. And to this day, it's been a fantastic rental property for us.
Wow.
But it was kind of a perfect example, kind of what we were just talking about as to, you know, we ran into a situation where it was kind of a challenge for us, an obstacle, but we were able to overcome and it's been a great asset for us ever since.
Yeah, that's what you have to be able to do in real estate. You know, everything does not work just according to plan. It's a very adaptable type of business and investments that you make, whether it be a wholesale, a rental property, a buy, fix, sell. You have to know how to be able to adjust and deal with the circumstances and continue pressing forward. And again, it still turned out to be a wonderful deal for you as you still own it today. Guys, right after the break, we're going to come back and, like I said, cover the Super Bowl story as well as the adversity of the deal that he did in the Midwest. I want to cover that. You're going to love how this plans out.
We'll be right back on the Andrew Cordell Show.
Money may not buy happiness, but with enough money, you can buy whatever makes you happy. An ordinary job won't get you there, but an extraordinary book will. Andrew Cordell's new Amazon best-selling book, Cash Flow Finish Line, tells in plain English how to make more money and create wealth from real estate. And we'll send you the book free if you call us now at 1-800-524-4284. Get your free copy of the book full of easy-to-understand ideas to help you build wealth without risking any of your own money. Andrew's sponsors have graciously offered to help pay for shipping and handling. All you pay is $195 and they'll cover the rest. You don't need a great credit rating either. You just need to want it and you need to ask for it. Call 1-800-524-4284 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-4284 in the next 30 minutes and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-4284. That's 1-800-524-4284. Again, that's 1-800-524-4284.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show, where we're talking about real money made from real estate. And we got Casey Papinga in the studio with us today, talking about going to the Super Bowl, how that felt, and going through the process of all these great leaders he had, coaches that he had while being in the NFL, and then how he sort of transferred that into real estate when he had a good mentor that helped him out along the way. Now, Casey, we left off with you had just done your first rental property. Well, I take that back. You did your first property, and then it ended up turning into a rental property because you couldn't sell the house at that time. Is that correct?
That's right. And in fact, let me just back up just a little bit on that too. So when I went to do my first deal, one of the things that I was taught by my mentor. I don't want to call him trainer, but my mentor, my coach, was hey, we want to leverage other people's money because the more money you can leverage, the more money you will ultimately make. You want to rarely use your own money. So at the time, I had resources if I wanted to use my own personal resources to buy the deal. But I elected to go find a partner, a financial partner, kind of like a silent partner. They would provide the financing. I'd do everything else. And so with that, I was able to get the deal, literally no money down.
Wow.
And we were to split the gross proceeds or the net proceeds, of the transaction once we were to sell it. But obviously what had happened at that point in time, we couldn't sell it, once again, based upon the market at the time, as well as, it was really ultimately the market that dictated that. But we took it back.
Yeah.
Now we got this asset that we decided to turn into a rental. And once again, as I reiterated, we hold it to this day, and it's become a great cash flowing asset for us. And what's awesome about it, I have zero money into it. And so what's interesting, if you really put the numbers to it, my rate of return is infinite.
It's
infinite. There's an infinite return because I have zero money in, but yet I'm earning, a rate of return because we partnered on this deal together. And it was just, it's been awesome. In fact, almost every deal I do, either if it's a rental or a buy, fix, and sell, always is going to be, at this point in time, a partnership deal where I put no money into it. I'll do the work, but my partner will put the money into it, and then we split profits 50-50.
You know, that's interesting that you bring that up because, I did 146 deals these last 18 months, and I did the same thing. I did not – in all 146 deals, I did not use any of my own personal money. I was always leveraging other people's money on all 146 of those deals. Even though I had the cash and the capital to go out and do my own deals, I just continued to leverage – everybody else's money. And I know there's different types where you can get, 10% interest on the money or for a short term or whatever. I do a lot of what you're talking about, which I refer to as a JV, a joint venture partnership, where I'll find the property, do the work, oversee everything. Let me back up. When I say do the work, I don't do the physical construction. I just oversee it, hire everybody, and then we have the a profit share at the end there. Is that the same thing you're talking about, sort of like a joint venture agreement?
Exactly. Absolutely. It's me and another partner. We go into the deal, they finance it, I do all the work, and then we split the net profits at the end.
Now, did you do the same thing when you say all the work, just for the listeners to understand, were you actually doing the actual construction, or were you just hiring out the contractors?
Great question. And that's another thing that my mentor and my really good friend taught me from the very beginning. It's like, that's another big mistake first-time investors do. They think, okay, if I go in there, because I know how to paint houses, sure, I know how to go in and do some general rehabbing, I know how to go and install a kitchen countertop, whatever the case is. But the moment you start putting in that sweat equity, you start losing time that you could be dedicating on other deals. And So one of the things that I learned was to never, don't do the work yourself, hire it out, because ultimately, at the end of the day, somebody's got to get paid for the work. And if you're going to pay yourself, that's fantastic, but you might as well save your body from all the heartache and all the, you know, all the pain and suffering you're going to go through. Hire it out, find a good contractor. So I've never even lifted up one single hammer, lifted a paintbrush on any of the houses I've done. In fact, a lot of the houses that I've done recently, I've never even seen them.
Wow, yeah.
But I've been able to put together an amazing team, and we'll talk about this perhaps in another segment, about the importance of surrounding yourself with excellent team members. And that was, going back to my NFL experience, that was one of probably the most important concept I was able to learn from the Bill Cowers, the Andy Reids, the mm-hmm. Mike Holmgrens, and the Dick Vermeils, is they're only as good as their assistant coaches. And I am only as good as a real estate investor as my team, my real estate agent, my contractors, my lender, my closing company. And I followed that principle through real estate investing. And I think that's really been something that's really helped me become successful, because I try to surround myself by greatness, because greatness breeds greatness. And that ultimately has provided me the opportunity to be where I am today.
Yeah, I love that. It's a great point there. Myself as well, I've never done any physical work on these properties. I just feel like my time is better spent finding that next deal, finding that next opportunity, not demoing out a kitchen to save myself $200, $300, and then I end up doing it wrong or tearing something out. So great point there. I want to come back and talk about the Super Bowl story. Guys, if you want to get a copy of my book, it's free. Copy of my book. It's only $1.95 for shipping and handling, where we talk about cash flow properties. 1-800-537-3440. Again, 1-800-537-3440. And get a free copy of my book for only $1.95 of shipping and handling.
Listen up, America. Are you interested in discovering proven real estate investment techniques that can create life-changing wealth? Andrew Cordell, founder of the National Association of Real Estate Investors, has just published a brand new Amazon best-selling book to give you a market edge on making money in your own backyard. In his book, Cashflow Finish Line, you'll quickly learn the top 12 strategies for making money in real estate today. Discover how to do profitable deals that don't require you lift a paintbrush, but give you fixed returns that can create cash flow and long-term wealth. Call 1-800-524-1365 now to get Andrew's new book absolutely free. Andrew's sponsors are now helping to pay for shipping and handling. You just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Plus, as a bonus, call 800-524-1365 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Learn and earn with Andrew Cordell by calling 1-800-524-1365. That's 1-800-524-1365 to get your free book today.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate. We got Casey Papinga in the studio here with us, talking about his Super Bowl experiences and his NFL career, as well as how he transferred that some of those adversities and some of those tools and principles that he learned from the NFL into real estate investing. Now, Casey, I want to get the story we've been setting up for the last couple of segments about sort of the Super Bowl adversity, and you go through that loss of losing the Super Bowl, which is, if you're an NFL athlete, that has to be just absolutely devastating, because that's really what the NFL is about, is getting to that moment of the Super Bowl and then being so close and then end up losing it. And then how you sort of use some of those principles you learned on this deal that you did, I believe it was out in Kansas City. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So let's sort of talk about that deal and how you were able to combine sort of those Super Bowl experiences into this deal.
Okay, perfect. So for this particular deal, we had the intention now, after we'd done that first one, and we felt like, hey, the cash flow is going to be a great opportunity for us. But also at the same time, we were interested in buy, fix, and sell. And so through this process, like any first-time real estate investor would want to do is we recruited the services of several real estate agents. One in particular was fantastic for us. Understood the market, had a great investor mindset, and was very persistent. They understood the concept that, hey, our job is to buy properties below market value so we could fix them up and sell them at market value. So naturally, we were going to be putting ourselves in situations where we may not be offering full asking price. In some cases, we were offering maybe 50% of what they were asking. And so through this process, we became, you know, I started learning firsthand the importance of persistence and kind of understanding that, hey, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
Right.
And, you know, we, as real estate investors, you kind of develop a kind of success rate for yourself in terms of how many offers you're putting on the table and how many you get accepted.
It's a numbers game.
Absolutely. It was a numbers game. And we faced a lot of rejection at first. In fact, the agent I was working with, he was fairly new to the game. And he would always report back to us any interesting comments or negative comments that any of the real estate agents would provide them, you know, in terms of how low our offer was. And they would come back with these comments of like, oh, my gosh, that's so ridiculous. Why did you even think about making that offer?
Yeah.
You just offended me and the seller by just even thinking about wanting to offer that price on this home. And so each time we made that offer, you know, sometimes you get a little discouraged. And sometimes it was discouraging because we were hoping to get an offer accepted on some of these deals. And there were some that were really, really intriguing. Certain properties, they looked like just the perfect scenario, but we just couldn't get it at the price that we needed it at. And so we just kept persistent, kept picking ourselves up, moving on to the next property. And finally, we got actually this particular deal, we got a sweet lead from another real estate agent. Regarding a family that was kind of in a distress situation. They needed to move out. At the time, I'm pretty certain the property was, you know, now I think about it, it may have been in an estate situation where the homeowner had passed away.
Yep.
And then the family, you know, the kids had inherited the property, and they just did not want to deal with the property taxes at the time. They're already barely making ends meet or ends met, and so they just wanted to get rid of the home.
It's a great source of leads.
Fantastic. It was my first kind of situation running into this, and so we pursued the property, talked to them, and they came back to us and said, hey, you know what, we really need to sell this thing. Why don't you tell us about, you know, what you think, would you guys would be comfortable buying it at? So once again, I did this remotely from several states away, so I had my agent go to the property, check it out, walked through it. It was an older home, needed some updating, but structurally everything was sound. Mm-hmm. A lot of the big ticket items, such as the roof, the furnace, things
like
that.
Budget breakers.
Everything, yeah, exactly. Those things, they actually were really good condition. All we really needed to do was do some light remodeling in the kitchen and bathrooms, put in some new flooring, such as carpet and some tile.
So a basic a cosmetic repair.
Absolutely. Just some touch-ups there to make it ready for some renters. And so we went in there. Got that information. We already knew what the market rents were in that area, and we made them an offer. And the offer came in. I don't remember the exact percentage as to what they were asking or whatever, but it came in a little significantly below than what they were originally asking. But because of the motivation of what they had at their plate, and they had to move this property, they accepted the offer, and we were really excited to get another property under our belt. And the great thing about it was the price at which we were purchasing at versus what we were able to gather on rents, it was going to make us over a 20% return on our investment at that time. And it continued to this day is making that type of return for us.
Matt, let me jump. I'm sorry. I keep referring to you as Matt Hasselback because you got me thinking about him on the Seahawks. But, Casey, let me jump in here real quick because you said a statement that I want the listeners to really understand. And that is, you said, because of the motivation of the seller. Because that is one of the biggest factors in finding these hidden off-market deals where you're going to get these high profit margins inside of these, is because you have to find that highly motivated seller no matter what the circumstance is. And you may not understand the circumstance, and that's fine, whether it be death, bankruptcy, divorce. There's so many things that are there that will create this motivation for the seller to sell this property in a hurry to you. So I want to come back right off the bat, Casey, and talk about, finish the story about this property, and also talk about the importance of cash flow.
The problem with the American dream is waking up in your 40s stuck in a nightmare, working too many hours for too little money. What if you could break that cycle, supplement your income, and actually sock away some money for retirement? Or better yet, be your own boss. Keep more of what you make because you are working for you. Well, now you can, and people just like you are doing it, right here in Making Money Now Without Risking Any of Their Own Money. Find out how in Andrew Cordell's brand new Amazon best-selling book, Cashflow Finish Line. The cost? Zero. Andrew has arranged for his sponsors to help pay for shipping and handling. Just pay $1.95 and they'll cover the rest. Live the American dream on your terms, starting with a simple phone call. Call 1-800-524-0720 to get your free book. Plus, as a bonus, call 1-800-524-0720 in the next 30 minutes, and you'll also get Andrew's live webinar absolutely free. Call 1-800-524-0720 now. That's 1-800-524-0720.
You've been listening to The Andrew Cordell Show.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Andrew Cordell Real Estate Radio Show. We're talking about real money made from real estate. We got Casey Papinga in the studio with us today, talking about his NFL career as well as real estate career. Casey, you left off talking about this rental property you had out in Kansas City that you did remotely. You don't even obviously live there. You live several states away. You buy this property. You turn it into a rental property. Sort of what happens there, and I want you to talk about to the listeners about the importance of cash flow and how important it is to build that portfolio of rental, because obviously that is, even sort of goes along with my book, Cash Flow Finish Line, that is the end game that we're all playing here in real estate investing, is having enough cash flow and assets that each of us wants to be able to live the lifestyle that we want. So let's talk about that as well as you wrap up this property that you have in Kansas City.
You bet. So just some general numbers, if I remember correctly on this property. Again, I own it to this day, but it's been several years ago that we bought it. But I believe we were able to negotiate, and it's crazy to think the price that we were able to get it at in comparison to some of the areas in the country, and especially where I live. But I was able to get this property for $25,000.
Wow.
And the property rents out for today, it's either $725 or $750. So, and then the taxes on it are less than $1,000 a year, and then the insurance obviously is a lot less than, or is about that same price. So anyway, so it's a significant cash flow for us. But what we're able to do, and I learned this from the early beginnings as well too, from one of the investors that really taught me the ins and outs of real estate, was the power of leveraging your money, not only with a financial partner,
right,
but eventually pulling out their money so you can acquire more assets, because my financial partner only has a limited amount of resources.
Yep.
So what we're able to do, we're able to find a local bank that was able to do a cash out refinance for us. And based upon where we had purchased the property and what it appraised for, and in fact, if I remember correctly, the property ended up appraising for $70,000,
nice,
which is significantly more than what the minimum requirement was at the time to get financing.
You're talking about the loan to value there.
That's correct.
To
refinance. That's right. Yep. So we were, yeah, exactly. Now, we owned it free and clear.
Sure.
But we at least wanted to get our investment back. And so I think we were probably into it about $35,000 with the acquisition cost plus the renovations. And so we structured a financing, and we were able to refinance out of the property, put us in a nice long-term loan that's fully amortized. Now, naturally, our cash flow ended up going down quite significantly. It went from,
right,
maybe in the, $500 to $600 a month. Now we're down to probably $225 to $250 a month. But what that gave us the ability, it freed up that $35,000 for us to go buy another asset.
Good, another deal.
Because, exactly,
again, your investor only has so much money they can play with.
Absolutely.
He's not an unlimited bank.
No, exactly. And no one will ever be. They always, right, have a finite amount of money. And so anyway, so what we were able to do now that we turned that money, pulled all our money back, now we got approximately, $25,000 of equity. But at the same time, now we're cash flowing a positive cash flow. But now we have no money into the deal anymore. So going back to the previous comment that, statement that we made earlier about infinite return, now both of us, myself, yep, and my cash my cash business partner, we both now have an infinite return on our investment.
Right.
And this is where my investor became very intrigued about doing more deals, because he's now like saying, oh my goodness,
yeah,
okay, I got my full investment back. Now you're telling me I'm making, $100 a month cash flow plus we now are splitting this $25,000 of equity. That also, too, by the way, over the next several years, every time we receive rents, that's going to buy down our balance of our loan on this property, which eventually will buy down our loan to where we will have zero debt on the property again. And now we'll get back to, you know, $600 a month cash flow, plus we'll have the full amount of equity in the property. So he was very intrigued, and it's interesting, this individual, he was in banking, and this is where, you know, he's always been in banking, but to him, it started really clicking with him on the value of what we were doing. And this is where then at that moment, it leveraged into multiple properties that we did together.
Sure.
And ultimately for him, it was about the power of cash flow and about us earning a return on our money rather than, although we do it, we intermix. What we typically do is our investment strategy, we hold on to about 3 to 4 properties, and then we'll buy, fix, and sell another property.
And get so that big chunk of profits on a
deal. So we still integrate those deals that will get us a nice chunk of change. But also, too, you know, there's the tax benefits of the cash flow that's been huge for us. The depreciation has been phenomenal for us and, with our taxes and our business entity every year, which also helps us reduce our tax liability on the other properties that we buy, fix, and sell, so we're not having to pay as much capital gains. And so ultimately, what that's provided for us, it's given us more of our money back and given us better leverage for us as we move forward to acquire other properties.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a great point you're talking about here, because a lot of times, first, you got to understand that you're talking about an infinite return on for both of you guys, that your cash partner, as well as yourself. It frees up the capital. You have the depreciation. You're paying off a mortgage. You have the cash flow inside of it. There's many, many things. And on top of that, it's all asset-based as well. It's not just a stock per se, that there's nothing behind it. You're asset-based as well. So it's a great opportunity that goes along there. And I love your strategy of buying 2-3 of those types of deals and then also implementing that buy, fix, and sell, where it's going to give you that nice $20,000, $25,000, $30,000, whatever it may be, profit in one lump sum that you can now start doing some more rental properties. I love the strategy and the approach there that you have there. Closing out here, Casey, is there any last minute advice you would give an investor?
You know, I would just go back and what I've talked about this entire hour, and that is that importance of being persistent and surrounding yourself with experts that should know and must know more than you. Their expertise and their experience is only going to help you make more money.
Right.
And if you rely on that, you know, your ability to become a successful investor will increase dramatically.
Casey, I love the interview. I love the story here. Congratulations on the NFL career as well as your Super Bowl real estate career as well. And I really do appreciate coming out and spending some time with myself as well as the listeners. Guys, if you would like to get a free copy of my Amazon best-selling book where we cover exactly what me and Casey were talking about today, which is cash flow investing, you can have a free copy of that for only $1.95 for shipping and handling. You can call 1-800-537-3440. Again, that's 1-800-537-3440, where I cover the top 12 strategies of real estate investing. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the same time in the same place.
Thanks for listening to The Andrew Kordal Show, where we earn real money in real estate. For more information, go to www.andrewkordal.com.